Welcome to the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast here on the Backbreaker Media Network. And now, your host, Big Bad Boris.
It is time for another episode of your favorite podcast, the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast on Backbreaker Podcast. My name is Big Bad Boris, and I am joined by a very special guest this week, the lovely and the talented Ava Lawless. Ms. Lawless, how the hell are you?
Honestly, I am trying to recoup from a dentist appointment right now. I was a little worried that when we did this, I was going to sound, you know, half numb. So I guess I've had a bit better days, but that would have made for a really funny podcast.
You know, we could have done this another day.
No. I made the commitment. I'm in it.
All right. Well, you sound perfectly sober.
For now.
All right. So you have a kind of an interesting story. I know you've made a very quick transition from kind of being a fan to being in the ring, and I've kind of watched a little bit of it because I remember seeing you with a group of gentlemen in the front row at PWA shows in Calgary for quite some time, and then I learned that you had started training. So tell me a little bit about where you kind of first got bitten by the wrestling bug and what led you to kind of want to start doing this.
Oh no, I feel like that's such a loaded question, Boris.
That's a basic question.
I know, but like, do I start with how I actually started or when I really truly wanted to start? Because those are very different.
Oh, that's how, well, now you have to tell me both now.
Well, I think, especially growing up watching wrestling, I think as a kid, you idolize it, right? Like you see people on TV doing these crazy things and you want to be that person. And I think as a little girl, when I was watching wrestling, it was definitely a dream, but it seemed unattainable. And then fast forward, like, I don't know, 15, 20 years later, I don't know. Let's not age myself, but then I actually did it. And I think, you know, back then it seems like it's something that you can't do and it's impossible. But now I'm like, oh my God, I wish I started sooner.
See, that's something that I think is interesting, because even like when I was a kid, and I'm obviously substantially older than you, but like when I started watching way back, you know, in the late, you know, mid to late 80s, I never thought I could do this. And growing up, I never thought I could be that. It didn't even occur to me how you would become that. So the fact that some people like you kind of have that spark, I think, is really awesome. I always thought maybe I could be a commentator or somebody behind the scenes, but I could never see myself as Hulk Hogan.
Well, I mean, did Hulk Hogan see himself as Hulk Hogan?
He must have, because he became Hulk Hogan.
True, but I think it all starts with a dream, right?
Fair enough.
I mean, I looked at Lita and I just wanted to be her so badly. And then now I'm afraid of going to the top rope, but I still had that spark to get out and do it, I guess. So, I guess Hulk Hogan doesn't become Hulk Hogan without wanting to be Hulk Hogan.
This is true. So before you decided you wanted to train, but when you first started watching, who were some of the talents that caught your eye and kind of inspired you?
I was quite little, like I was under 10 years old. So I think, obviously I was really enamored with Lita. Kane was my favorite ever. The Hardys, Jericho, RVD. I'm trying to think. I think those would be like the top of my list.
That tail end of the Attitude Era, sort of, kind of.
Yeah. And most of those are high flyers. So, I did not follow in those footsteps, but you know.
So when did you get to the point where you started to want to do this? Is it after you started going to indie shows, or did you go to indie shows because you wanted to?
Yeah, I originally moved to Calgary and had like this idea that I would join Storm Wrestling Academy and like chase that dream. Mm-hmm. And then it just never materialized. And that's probably on me. You know, I can't blame anyone but myself. And then the years just passed by. And then I think I hit a breaking point a couple of years ago, maybe, what is it, like 2 or 3 years ago, where I was like, if I'm not going to do it now, when am I going to do it? Mm-hmm. You know, so I think for some reason that just lit a fire under my butt. And MRB had posted that he was doing mini camps, and there's like no better person to learn from. So I was like, if I don't do this, I'm never going to do it. So I bit the bullet, I guess you could say.
All right. So here comes the MRB love fest. I had a feeling that was going to happen, but that's okay. So going back so you went to some PWA shows. Was there other companies that you went to see as well? Did you go to like RCW shows in Calgary and stuff like that?
Yeah, I was in like my core group was like a mainstay at PWA. We would dabble in RCW a few times a year, but we mostly were committed to PWA, probably because of Mike. But
I think you guys just came yellow. What about Ivan?
Yeah, we definitely love to do that too.
I never understood it to this day, but he is real over in Edmonton, but not popular at all in Calgary. And we used to talk about it because we could never figure out exactly why he got the heat in Calgary. It's just kind of one of those things, you know?
You know what? But I think it's like you pick on him, but you love him sort of thing, at least from our group. Like, mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
When we would pick on him and then he would actually acknowledge us, then we would like pop for it, right? So,
and that's one of those little things that makes the shows fun, you know?
Yeah, I think the audience interaction is a huge factor. And I know like half the time I really loved going just because it would be a fun time with my friends and we would all be laughing and having a good time. And we usually went out to eat just like an hour or two prior. So it was like you make an evening out of it.
Oh, it's a hell of a Saturday night.
Yeah, exactly.
So you heard about advertisements for mini camps. And basically for those who don't know, a mini camp's kind of a thing that some companies, wrestling companies will do where you pay kind of a fee and you'll come for a Saturday and Sunday down to like the training room or the training building with the ring. And you just kind of get a bit of a feel for what it's like to, you know, work around the ring and maybe take some bumps and see how your body feels and see just how you feel about kind of the beginnings of what this is all kind of about. So how did you get involved with the mini camp and were you into it right away or did it hurt? Were you kind of like, I don't know if this is for me, or were you all in right away?
Yeah, I saw the posting. I sent the money and I went up there and I crashed at a family member's house. And, you know, it was 2 days, 8 hours each day. Definitely my biggest hurdle is probably my own confidence in myself. So mm-hmm. I believe I can't do things, which then just gets in the way of doing things. But it's also like this really bizarre feeling of realizing what your body is capable of. And, I remember this is so lame, but after the first mini camp, I went home like to my family member's house and I just like practiced bumping on the carpet and like rolls on the carpet. Do not recommend doing that. But yeah, it was very painful. I was very sore. My body was the most bruised it's ever been, but I think it was so, so satisfying and it scratched that itch that I've had since I was a little girl. And I was just like, oh, okay, like this is exactly where I'm meant to be right now. This is exactly what I needed. And then really it's just been my priority ever since.
And you talk about that thing about kind of not having faith in yourself. And that's something that I think MRB is a trainer for, because quite frankly, he don't play that shit. Because I've worked out with him a lot of times, and there's times where I can't get that last rep and he just yells at you until you do it, because he knows you got it in there and he'll pull it out of you. And I think that's one of the things that makes him a really great trainer, is even when you don't believe in you, he believes in you.
Yeah. And I think that's a quote of his, like, as long as you believe in yourself, you know, he's always going to be believing in you. And I think self-confidence is one of the most difficult things to conquer in wrestling. And knowing your worth and knowing what you're capable of. And he's definitely a good person to have in your corner, because he won't sugarcoat things, but he also will tell you how it is and what you need to do and that you can do it. So I think, yeah, you really couldn't have a better person kind of hyping you up and knowing, I guess, what he sees in you and how you can see it in yourself.
Yeah. So after first mini camp, were you pretty much hooked?
Yeah, I went to two more after that, I think. And then I just started training regularly. So here I am.
So what surprised you most about like your training? What was there something that you saw kind of on TV or something you thought in your head about the business and then realized, Oh, that's not what I thought that'd be like at all.
That's a really good question. I feel like there's many answers to that. But I think I didn't account for just how damn important footwork is. You know, like when you're watching wrestlers, they're just popping all over the ring, they're doing whatever. And then then when you're training and you're learning how few steps you should actually be taking and all this stuff, I was just like, wow, like as a fan watching wrestling, I never ever put those things together. It also just gives you a whole newfound respect for wrestling in general once you've trained a little bit. So I try not to be so hard when I watch things, and I just try to enjoy it, because I always think that wrestling is like not as hard as people think it is, but it's also not as easy as people think it is. So, if you're willing to push yourself, I think is the best benefit.
Yeah, and you look at some of the guys and ladies that are really, really good, they're the ones that make it look like it's easy. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
It
You're
just
like,
comes super effortless. So how long between after you started training to when you had your first match?
well, do we count clandestine part one? Is
Because
that something that's on the book?
you were in the cluster, were you not?
I was.
So that was that first match then?
Sure. Yeah, that was my very first match. And then the pandemic happened, and then I was out of commission for a year. So that was great.
So let's go back to clandestine. So that was the first match. So you're one of the few people that kind of had your first match, like technical match. I mean, it was a great big cluster battle royal sort of thing. But your very first match was broadcast live on the internet. And a lot of people can't really say that now that I think about
I don't know if I love that, but
Did that rent a little space in your head knowing that, or did you just kind of go out and do what you needed to do?
I like put it in the back of my mind. I feel like that girl is not the same girl who's doing this interview right now. And then honestly, I'm not going to be that same girl a week from now either. But I've definitely seen growth. So.
Oh, for sure. And I think what I like about you too is you've really kind of come to embrace like the character that you want to be, this Ava Lawless character, and your social media game is tight and very I'm trying to find the right words. Like the way you write, it's not just bullshit. It's like it's very formulaic words that want to get across a feeling and an emotion, and you throw some pictures in there and it all kind of makes sense. And that's such an important part of the game right now too, is that is all that all the non-ring stuff is getting more and more important as the years go by.
Oh, I know. Like half the battle is the marketing side of things. Like there's days and I'm literally like, oh, I should just post something because I know I need to, you
Just for the
know?
sake of having your name out there, you know?
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
who was first singles match?
Davey O'Doyle.
Was it really?
Yeah. At least like, yeah, not in front of a crowd, but yeah, it would have been O'Doyle.
Not in front of a crowd.
Yeah,
So where?
that was taped, right? For clandestine,
Oh,
so.
your first singles matches were the were oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that. So your first singles matches were taped for the second clandestine.
Yep, that's exactly
Oh,
right.
I didn't know that. Is that the match where you took the buckle?
Yes, the death
That's
buckle, as we call
good shit. I mean,
it.
I know it wasn't like planned or anything, like supposed to go that way, but I'm glad you're okay, but it looked good.
You know what? It was totally like, obviously in the moment it was wild, but afterwards, like I loved sharing that everywhere.
I mean, of course, it looks great.
Yeah, it looked wild. So, and now I'm like trying to figure out a way, like how can I replicate the death buckle in a safe
Yeah,
way?
how can I do that death buckle without dying?
Exactly. You know,
I
like
didn't
the
realize that those were your first group of singles matches. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
So what was first match in front of a crowd then?
Ooh, I think it was a I think it was a five-way at RCW.
Okay.
Let me tell you, a five-way for a first match. That's some tough stuff.
Do you remember who was in it?
Yeah, it was Taryn from Accounting, Zoe, Sexy Sam, and Alex Zwicker.
Oh, okay. Did you win? Did you go over?
No.
No? God damn it. Who booked that nonsense?
I did not win.
So after having a handful of matches for Clandestine with no crowd, was it a bit of a learning curve or a shock to have people there and realize that you've got to kind of get these people off their feet, and that's a whole new different dynamic than just wrestling in a warehouse for cameras?
Yeah, and I also think like it forces you to try to understand your character. Like at that point, like I knew what I had in terms of looks because I hadn't like gear and stuff, but I didn't know how I would carry myself and what my mood or what my move set would portray, or like, am I good? Am I bad? Like I had this moment where I was like, who am I? And, you know, I think sometimes I'm still trying to figure that out, but the more I've been doing it and being in front of the crowd, the more I'm trying to utilize them, and I could utilize them way more too. So finding that comfort, I think, is really important. But in the beginning, I was definitely like petrified of it.
Yeah. And the fact that you think about that and that's constantly on your mind and you're tweaking it and all that is, you know, it's a great sign, because again, in wrestling, that's so important to kind of embrace that character. The more that you believe it, the more you can kind of get it across to the folks.
Yeah, exactly. And I think in some ways, Ava Lawless gets to be the person that I'm not. Like I get to be the bit more aggressive side, or the bit more like angry side, or kind of person who doesn't really care what other people think side. And I mean, that's kind of a treat in itself. Like you get to be someone completely different.
Oh, I totally agree with that. Many, 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 many years ago in PWA, I was a manager for Tex Gaines, who is, of course, the father of Colton Kelly. And it's super liberating to grab a microphone in front of 300 people and tell them how much you hate them and they all suck, and have them just loathe you back. It's just so fun. You feed off it.
Oh, yeah. I've definitely, at least I've noticed lately that Edmonton really despises me. And it's so much fun. And I know that sounds wild to say, but it's so much fun having them hate me.
No, I totally get it. I think a lot of people who don't understand the business don't get that, but I totally do.
Yeah. I think it's hard to get people to like you also. So
I think it's a lot harder to be a baby and a good baby, you know, and the guys who can do that properly and get the right kind of reaction, I have a lot of respect for.
Me too. Cause like, what do? You go out there like, hey guys, like me.
And especially these days where like that bubblegum, you know, kind of John Cena baby face doesn't really get over the way that it used to, you know, almost got to be like a cool baby face. And that's even harder, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
So let's flip the script a little bit. We do a little bit of music here on the Punk and Proverbs podcast. As you know, if you're a long-time listener to this 16 episodes, but I have my guests pick out a couple of songs that are near and dear to them that will spin during the show. The first one you picked is a Wasp song, which I'm not surprised about, but we're going to get to that a little bit later. But tell me why you picked this song. I gave it a listen when I was pulling it, and it's got like a cool kind of raunchy rock and roll kind of vibe to it. So why'd you pick this one?
Yeah, I definitely, you know what, they're not, that's not even my favorite song by them, but it was something that's just been in rotation for me this week. And I just think it has almost like a good karaoke vibe to it. Like you just want to scream the lyrics with that song.
Do you karaoke?
I love karaoke personally. Oh, like awesome. I love
all right.
Karaoke. Yeah.
What's your go-to?
Usually this is
Mambo number five.
Good song. Recently I did Queen, Michelle Branch, if we're going completely opposite ends.
Michelle Branch, really?
Yeah, so like I just go all over the place, but usually I like to hit like the 80s Total Eclipse of the Heart, and yeah, just
I think you karaokeing Michelle Branch might be the biggest shocking piece of news to come out of this broadcast today.
Well, you better make that the clickbait title, Ava Lawless.
That's right. Michelle Branch has heated words for Michelle Branch. Maybe we get her in the ring. All right, so this song is by Wasp. It is called Blind in Texas. We're gonna spin that right now. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the future here on the Punk and Proud Drivers podcast.
I couldn't see. I fell on the floor when I said it.
That is Wasp on the Punk and Podverse podcast. My name is Big Bad Boris. We are joined by the lovely and talented Ava Lawless, who is a Michelle Branch fan. That's fucking awesome. I really like that. So as you've entered this crazy world of professional wrestling, what are some of your short and long-term goals?
Oh, boy.
I mean, everybody wants to, quote unquote, go to New York, so to speak. But is there some things that you would like to do potentially along the way? Or is that even a thing? Do you even want to go that high? Do you want to tour the indies? Do you want to just stay around here and do this, you know, in your home?
Yeah, definitely. Well, I'm originally from Ottawa. So if you've seen me wrestle live, they always announce me from Ottawa. And Ottawa has C4. And, you know, growing up, C4 was there. And I think it would almost be like a very small full circle, but a full circle nonetheless, if I could wrestle for C4 in Ottawa. I could get all my friends and family to come out, which would be amazing. And they just have like a really good vibe to them. Like, actually, you would probably appreciate this, but they really have like this like punk rock, like all inclusive type vibe.
I've definitely heard of C4 for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of very similar to how Defy feels, but
yes.
And Defy would be another one I would love to kind of sink my teeth into. I obviously would love, in the grand scheme of things, to, you know, hit big leagues if that's in my future, but I would really love to hit these companies along the way, because I just think their vibe and my vibe matches. Anytime I've gone to their shows, the energy has been so good. And it's just, I think it's something that would really build memories and experience. So those are two things I know for sure I want to experience if at all possible.
And those are very, very attainable goals, I think, as well.
Well,
and
you.
Yeah, Defy is a super cool promotion. I think they just announced today that they've got Jon Moxley coming in for a show coming up. Mm-hmm. So that's very cool. Now let's talk about the role of women in our industry. You talked a bit about when you were kind of getting into it back in the Trish and Lita days. Mm-hmm. When you saw like bra and panty matches and that kind of stuff, is that something that you thought was cool, or is that something you were like, I don't want to do that. I want to wrestle.
It's weird, because like I have such strong, vivid memories of those things when I probably should not have been watching them at that age. But I guess I saw them as like gags almost.
Okay.
But then like my mind would switch when I would see like Lita or Ivory or, you know, coming out and wrestling. And then I would be like inspired, or I always saw myself in Lita, because she kind of had like this tomboyness to her, but she's really, really cool. And so I think in some ways I was able to turn off what the bra and panty matches were and focus on the things that I liked. I think maybe I was just too innocent to fully understand what
I mean, quite frankly, those matches aren't really marketed to you anyway, to be honest. I mean, they're marketed more to the 18-year-old boys.
Yes, and I'm sure that worked. So
Yeah, Lita always came across very like rough and tough, and like she could go and scrap with the guys and stuff. And I could see that being somebody that would be kind of inspiring. Who's around these days? Like, who's a dream match for you that's around these days?
Ooh, good question. This is obviously a bit out of my league here, but I would love Asuka.
First of all, there's no such thing out of your league. The sky's the limit.
Sky's the limit.
I'm going to pull an MRB and say, you know what? If you vision yourself being there, you can be there.
Well, thank you.
He's a terrible influence on me, that guy.
Horrible. I find her so captivating and interesting. And I feel like anytime I watch her matches, she's doing something different. I personally like wrestling that seems a bit on the like stronger, stiffer end.
Okay.
And sometimes I feel like her actions are like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she would be at the top of my list. I've watched quite a bit of Alex Gracia, and she's like wrestled in AEW and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And I just find her really interesting. And she actually has like that bubblegum pop look to her too. Like she's very like pink and like happy and bubbly. Whereas I think my character is kind of on the opposite end. So
but there's a lot of fun you could have with that in terms of social media posts and hype videos, mm-hmm. and just the light and the dark in entrances and just having the match itself. And that's a lot of fun. That contrast can be really, really fun to work with.
Yeah, I think it would be really fun. So she's kind of up there for me as well. And then I think on a previous podcast, I said I would love a hair versus hair match with Bianca. and so one of us would lose our hair.
Would you cut your hair?
Yeah, I would totally do it.
Really?
Only if it's on like, you know, a grand stage with a big chunk of money. But
I was just going to say your wallet's a little bit heavier, right?
Yeah, I'm not going to do it Friday nights, you know?
I get it.
Yeah.
So you mentioned that you like kind of the stiffer, strong style, so to speak, kind of thing. Are you a fan of deathmatch wrestling at all? Or is that too stiff?
I don't know if it's too stiff.
Because we're starting to see a handful of women really kind of start to make their name in that genre as well. I mean, Mickey Knuckles has been doing it forever, mm-hmm. but there's a woman from Mexico, Sadika, who's been doing a lot of death matches with the guys and really holding her own. And that's something that we're starting to see the women do a lot more. So is that something that you would consider, or is that a little much?
Honestly, probably not. I think like I would do, you know, certain stipulations or like hardcore stuff, but like I don't think I could do like barbed wire thumbtack stuff. That's just not up my alley.
You're not looking to roll around on broken glass or anything like that?
Nah, you know, I've wrestled after a death match and that was enough for me.
Where was this?
This is recently, but yeah. So
where did you wrestle after a death match?
Oh, that was at Love Wrestling.
Oh, right. I was just going to actually ask you about that. That was a little bit, I mean, there wasn't as much nonsense in that match,
yeah.
But actually that was the next thing I was going to ask you about was the Love Wrestling show. Mike Maloney and I talked about it a little bit last week. You kind of stepped into a somewhat high profile match against a kind of a high profile opponent. You wrestled Nicole Matthews. You were scheduled to be on the card, but not in that match. You kind of slid in for another wrestler who couldn't make it. What was that like to kind of get your chance to wrestle somebody with a bit more of a pedigree? And I don't mean that against anybody around here, but somebody, she's been on WWE TV and things like that. How'd you feel that went? I really enjoyed the match myself.
Oh, thank you. Well, first off, I actually wasn't scheduled for that show.
Oh, I thought you were, but you were booked with someone else.
No, I wasn't. So I kind of, you know, dove right in the second I got offered. I was like, Nicole Matthews, say less. I'm in. It was fantastic. She is incredible. Super kind, wonderful person, and like lays it all out in the ring. And like, I told her straight up, like, I like, you know, the more hard hitting stuff. That's just how I am. And I think
lay your shit in.
Yeah. I think she had no problem doing that. And we just beat the shit out of each other. And like, I learned a lot being in that ring with her, and it's definitely one of the matches that I'm more proud of. And I'm so grateful I had that opportunity because it taught me a lot. And I really think the crowd were like, holy shit.
Yeah, for sure.
We were just slugging each other. And I appreciated it, so I hope they did.
Yeah, there was definitely a fun vibe in the building for that whole show. Did she have any words of wisdom for you before or after?
You know, she was really, really kind, and she just, we kind of had to change things on the fly during the match because the crowd was not kind of reacting the way we wanted them to. And she just kind of had some nice words about me being able to follow that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she just like gave me tips on like how to do certain things and whatnot. But overall, it was just like a really fun and educational experience, I guess you could say.
And that's one of those things where placement on the card is really important, because sometimes when you're going to follow a match like that, that's, you know, a quote unquote hardcore match where they're bringing out some extra stuff, you know, sometimes that can be hard to follow. The fans might be a little bit burned out or what have mm-hmm. you, and you've got to find a different way to get them back into it.
Yeah. And I'm not an overly flippy person. I feel like I can do some things, but I think where I excel at is more like hard hitting mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And I think I just had this vision. If you put two girls in front of them and these girls are not like doing flashy stuff, it's literally like punching each other in the face, that people would be like, whoa, like we just saw thumbtacks, but these girls are punching each other in the face.
See, that's where I think that you would fit in on. Are you familiar with the GCW Bloodsport shows?
Yes.
So I think that's so, because we've seen some more of the women start to do those shows as well, where they take the ropes down and it's, I think, mm-hmm. knockout or submission only. And I think that that might be, again, with the style that you like, that might be something that would fit in well with you.
Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say no, Boris. I wouldn't say no.
So what's next in the immediate future? What you've got some shows and some bookings and stuff coming up?
Yeah. Just regularly with RCW right now. And we've got,
they're running a lot of shows.
A lot, got, yeah. This yeah, weekend
is three shows this weekend, do they not?
Yeah, and I might be on a fourth show, not with RCW, but I don't know yet. So that's up in the air. But I do know that it's Halloween this weekend, so I'm not gonna just be normal Ava Lawless, you know. Oh. I'm gonna pull out some tricks from my pocket.
Michelle Branch.
I feel like no one would know who I was.
That's some scary shit.
Yeah. Trick or treat, Michelle Branch.
So we're going to bust out your second song. And this song really surprised me, actually, because I kind of got a vibe that you're quite into the heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. You busted out a Sisters of Mercy song, which I did not see coming. I pulled this one and I gave it a bit of a listen. And it's definitely got a kind of very old school, alternative-y, Bauhaus kind mm-hmm. of Joy Division-y kind of sound. Explain to me why you picked this song.
Sisters of Mercy is one of my favorite bands of all time. They're kind of like the king group of goth rock. And, that song in particular, I think
The Cure would disagree, but I'm just have to be a dick that way. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm a wager that I still like Sisters more than The
That's
Cure,
fair. That's
but,
fair.
I just think that song is very hauntingly beautiful. I think his voice is very like guttural and like sad sounding. And it does have like this really weird, like euphoric, nostalgic sound to it. And I think a lot of people associate me with heavy metal, which is totally fine because that's kind of how I portray myself. But metal was primarily my thing in high school. And then once I got a bit older and I started dipping my toes into like 80s like new wave and goth and whatnot, I found that there was this whole other side of me that was waiting to be discovered, and I found that Sisters of Mercy was the gateway into it.
See, and that's why I think this podcast is so cool, because you get the wrestling stuff that is very creative, but you also get kind of the music stuff, which is also creative, and it's kind of fun. I read a little bit about this song, and apparently it's some sort of love song to an ex-girlfriend, but also some former members of the band or some people in the band left the band or something along those lines. So it's kind of a double whammy. I thought it was really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, Sisters of Mercy band members did not get along very well. So I'm sure many songs are probably about the demise of the band.
I find that really interesting. That's one of the things that I really found interesting about the Ramones as well, is the last mm-hmm. number of years, Joey and Johnny Ramone did not speak. And I don't know how you're in a band and you make records and you go on tours and play hundreds of shows in buses and vans with a guy that you just don't talk to and you don't like. So,
and how authentic is it too? Like, mm-hmm. like is the music you're putting out really the Ramones?
Yeah, like, absolutely. So this track is from the Sisters of Mercy. It's called Some Kind of Stranger on the Punk and Pile Drivers podcast.
Yes, I believe in what we have, but words have been growing, and only yesterday, as I was leaving, the Lord knows I tried to say, but I've heard of it. Conversations going where they've been before. See the way that careful fingers undecided at the door. And all I know for sure, all I know for real, is knowing doesn't mean so much. When placed against the feeling, the heat inside when bodies meet, when fingers touch. All of my words are second-hand and useless in the face of this rationale. Rhyme and reason fail beside a single kiss. I've heard so many things I've failed to understand at all. I'd settle any time for unknown footsteps in a hall you
That is the Sisters of Mercy on the Punk and Powdermas podcast. I'm very pleased to be joined by Ava Lawless. There was something that came across my social medias, I want to say yesterday. It's a picture of you and Taryn and Zoe. Mm. And it just kind of made me happy because there's just so much work that's been done with the three of you, like the work that you guys have all put in to get where you were and where you started to where you are today. And just seeing the three of you together really, really kind of made me happy. And I'm like, these girls have got it going on. There's such a bright future. The PWI Women's 150 just came out. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people, you know, were posting, you know, the rankings and stuff like that. And unfortunately, you know, we talk about geography being against you guys and all the talent here in Alberta, but I could see all of you guys killing it on that list next year because there's just so much upside.
Yeah, I mean, I would 100% put those two women up on there because, yeah, I wouldn't be where I am without them. Don't tell them I said that. I hope they're not listening. Just kidding.
Yeah, nobody listens to this thing, so it's okay. All right, so I put out on the Twitter earlier today that you were going to be on the episode this week, and I asked if there's any questions that folks had. So Bayrat Gorani just busted in with a bunch of questions. I like that guy. Don't tell him that I like him, but he's a good dude. Okay, are you ready?
Yes, let's go.
All right, Jeff or Matt?
Oh, shit. young Ava picks Jeff. Current Ava picks Matt.
Were you a fan of the broken Matt Hardy thing?
Because I hated it.
I hated it so much.
I was. I think Matt doesn't get enough credit for how often and how successfully he reinvents himself.
See, he's kind of like Jericho in that sense that mm-hmm. you know, he'll go away for a while and he'll change things up so you don't get sick of him. And that's been a key to longevity because the dude's been like, I don't know how he's still walking, but he's been around for a long time and competing at a really high level for a long time.
Yeah, and I think many wrestlers try to reinvent themselves, and you know it can work. But Jericho, especially, is a great example of someone who succeeds at doing it. So I also think Matt should be grouped in there because you know, Big Money Matt, Broken Matt, you name it, he's done a lot.
Favorite console and video game? Are you a video gamer?
Yeah. Like I wouldn't say like hugely. I've had this idea for a while where I've wanted to start a Twitch where I only play the most terrifying video games ever because I'm a screamer and I like throw things and I think it would be really entertaining.
That's like the new big thing is everyone's doing the Twitch thing. So why not? I think yeah. you could have some success, maybe make some money.
Maybe, but that's just in the idea bank. But I have a PlayStation. I used to have an Xbox. I don't really have a preference. Right now I'm playing a lot of Call of Duty, but my favorite franchise of all time would be the Tomb Raider series. So
Tomb Raider, a female yeah. hero.
Yes.
Just yeah. like you.
Exactly.
Okay.
Or villain.
true. Here we go. Who's your favorite Blaze brother?
Oh no.
I have to tell you, at the Love Wrestling show, when the Rhinestone Cowboy came out, I popped hard. I thought that was fantastic.
Oh, isn't that absolutely
I brilliant? Loved it.
I know. I'm obsessed with it.
That kid's killing it, too. I had no, like, I don't know him too well. Like, I've, you know, hung out with him and at, because I've gone to MRV's house in Calgary a few times for shows and stuff like that. And him being, you know, in PWA and doing the referee thing, you know, I've talked to him, I had, you know, a bunch of times and he's a super nice kid. But the way he's taken to it, just phenomenal.
Oh, I know. It's like in his blood. God, I can't answer that. I love them both for very different reasons. So.
Fair enough. Okay. You can only have a match with one of them. Zoe or TFA, Taryn from accounting. Who are you picking? Zoe or Taryn?
You see, I know Bayrat's trying to stir the pot.
Oh, and I'm helping. I know.
But let me tell you something.
Uh-oh.
One of those women has the belt. So that's the one I'm picking.
See, smart. That's business.
Yeah. It's not about the woman. It's about the belt. So I'm picking Zoe for this simply because she has the belt and it's going to be mine.
Ooh, strong words from Ava Lawless. Another question I got from somebody else. Do you have a favorite ska band?
No.
See, I didn't think so. But this is another is a friend of mine that his name is Scotty. He's a great kid. He's been on the podcast a couple times, and he's a big ska guy. And that's like what he always gets me to ask people if they have a favorite ska band. And Ava Lawless does not have a favorite ska band. Now, Spencer Love stole my question that I was going to ask you. Mm-hmm. I think it's kind of obvious, but did the Lawless name come from Blackie Lawless from Wasp?
100%
I kind of figured.
Although I've had people assume it's from Lucy Lawless because of Xena, which I'm also, oh. I am totally okay with that comparison as well. I loved Xena growing up. I was Xena for Halloween. So whichever one you want to choose it from, I'm good with, but it did come from Blackie.
I never even thought of Lucy Lawless, actually. That's interesting. Where did Ava come from? None of my goddamn business.
No, Ava is from the classic Hollywood actress Ava Gardner.
Ah, perfect. There you go. Give us your social medias if the kids want to follow you and find out what's going on and check out some of these clever posts.
Instagram and Twitter both is Lawless Ava.
Was Ava Lawless taken?
It was taken, but I also kind of like how Lawless Ava makes sense too. Oh. So, you know, Ava is Lawless. Lawless Ava. There you go.
You're too smart. You're too smart for the wrestling business. Is there anything else that you want to add? Any specific shows that you want to hype up? Anything you want to say to the people out there?
Oh, my God. Putting me out there. I guess, like, well, clearly RCW or a wrestling company needs to do a karaoke night at the same time so I can wrestle and do karaoke. Let's put that into the universe. Okay.
That's a new gimmick. That's a great gimmick actually that someone should have, like come with one of those like ion boxes that they sell at yeah. like Radio Shack with like the neon lights on them and come out singing like, yeah. Oh God, what's a horrible karaoke song that everybody sings? Like, Hotel California. Yeah. Sweet Caroline. That's not bad. That's pretty good actually. That's copyright. If anybody steals that, it's mine.
Well, it's kind of mine, but
okay, it's ours then.
Yeah, it's ours. Also, I just finished Squid Game, so I guess that was wild. I loved it. Had a very battle royale feeling to it.
So I'm late to the party on that one, as you said too. My son actually played a little bit of it for me, and I didn't really understand what was going on. All I saw was this scene where a bunch of guys were trying to carve a shape out of a cookie, and these guys with PlayStation buttons on their heads were shooting them if they fucked it up. Now, I'm sure there's a lot more to it, but is it really that good?
It's really good. I mean, that's a pretty comical place to walk into. But yeah, I mean, if you're into that sort of like playing a game and your life is on the line sort of thing, whether it's Saw or Hunger Games or Battle Royale or, you know, Squid Game, I think it's definitely worth a watch.
So there is a good story there.
Oh yeah. And if you're not into story, there's a whole lot of gore.
Is there going to be more of this, or is it like a one series kind of thing?
I feel like it's set up for a season two, and I hope it's set up for a season two, because I think there's a lot of creativity there.
And given the success of it, it'd be kind of silly not to.
Oh yeah.
So what are you listening to these days? What's in the Spotify or what have you?
Right now I'm listening to a lot of true crime podcasts.
Every white girl I know listens to true crime podcasts. I think it's like a requisite. You got to have Starbucks and your like murderer podcast and your pumpkin spice and you're good to go.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I don't like Starbucks. But
I was going to say, you don't seem like a pumpkin spice kind of gal.
No, I don't like Starbucks at all. But yeah, I'm listening to that. I was listening to the Cars a lot last week. So they're just really good driving music, and I've been doing a lot of driving lately, so the Cars just happen to be in rotation all the time.
Fair enough. Yeah, you're Zip. Who's in your car? Who do you drive with?
I drive by myself.
Do you really?
I got a lot of things I gotta work around schedule wise, and it just never matches up with like the other workers, so usually I'm on my own.
So you're not antisocial, it's more of a scheduling thing.
Well, it's a little bit of that too. Let's be real.
Because I got to say, some of my best memories of the time that I've spent in wrestling is those Calgary trips and the bunch of us, whoever it would be, crammed into that car and just, you know, shooting the shit on the way there. And then on the way back, you know, I would be driving and somebody would have to stay awake with me. Usually MRB and I would shoot the shit, or people sticking their heads out of the sunroof on Electric Avenue in Calgary after a show and just stuff like that. You might want to look at carpooling. It's some good times.
I did do a lot of carpooling with Crow, actually, and that's 100% a good time. Like, I hope we can do it more because, yeah, it's definitely a good time.
Well, I'm hoping that I'll be back in the mix with somebody soon as well, because I'm getting the itch. I'm tired of waiting. So we'll see what happens with that. Mm-hmm. We are going to close this down with a band called Detention that I kind of discovered recently. It's kind of lo-fi sort of punk rock that I kind of like the recording process, a little bit less slick, a little bit less professional, and just kind of good catchy songs. The band's called Attention. The song is called 56 Minutes. Thank you very kindly, Ms. Lawless, for joining me.
Thank you.
If everything goes according to plan, I should have the Canadian Goose next week. And MRB sent me a message today saying that he wants to come back on. And I was like, what do you want to talk about? And he's like, anything. I'm like, okay. So I'm sure he'll have opinions on anything and everything.
You could tell him I didn't pick a favorite Blaze brother.
Oh, he listens. Don't worry.
Oh God. I'm a hear about it.
Yeah. Friday afternoon, you might want to turn off your ringer on your phone there.
Noted.
All right. 56 minutes. This is Detention. Thank you for listening to the Punk and Pilevers podcast on Backbreaker Podcast. And we will talk to y'all next week.
I want to call you, but I've asked too many times. I want to see you, but you're miles away, and I still don't know how to drive.
Right.
And everybody's got a piece of mind to give. Everyone has to put their two cents in. And these days, it always seems my opinion counts for nothing. And I'm sure you can guess that I'd love to get back to you. Or just check in and make sure you're doing okay. But you're 56 minutes away. Cause you're 56 minutes away. 56 minutes away. You're 56 minutes away.